Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, breaking down District 3 athletics and activities week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey. We are joined by our Treasure Valley resident and expert, Logan Green. LG, what's up?
Hey, Brandon. Not much. Just I'm recovered now. I'm not as depressed as I was earlier. I do have my Final Four shirt on that I waited so long not as excited, not as much excitement over here on in the Logan Green side of the screen to start off this week. But hey, heck of a ride. It was a ton of fun, and it was really cool to see my team in the Final Four. It was the first time I ever experienced that, so that was fun. And now we're back here. My focus is more back over here. We've got a lot of great stuff going on, and I was talking to somebody yesterday just about sports in the state of Idaho in general. And this, it seems to always come up, but I was talking to my son this morning. He's like, I've got four full weeks of school left, something like that, four or five. Like, it is somehow we're pretty much halfway through the season, and it's already getting down to crunch time.
Yeah, it's just insane to think about. Next thing you know, we're going to be talking about district tournament time and all that stuff. And yeah, the school year is almost out. We're April 11th when we're recording this. It doesn't feel like it, but yeah, it's crazy to think about for sure. Okay, so for fans that haven't tuned in the past couple of weeks, Logan is a North Carolina native, Idaho transplant, diehard North Carolina State fan for college athletics. Of course, their women's basketball team was in the Final Four and fell short. Their men's team went on an uber Cinderella run as an 11 seed, got all the way to the Final Four. They fell to Purdue. Let me ask you this real quick, and then we'll get into Treasure Valley sports. So I went through a similar thing a few years ago. I'm a UCLA fan.
Right.
And their men's basketball team went on a similar run as NC State. They were an 11 seed also, got all the way to the Final Four, lost to Gonzaga in overtime. Johnny Juzang had scored the tying basket with 2 seconds left, and then Jalen Suggs hits this half-court shot to win for Gonzaga. What would you prefer as a sports fan? The game that NC State had on Saturday where you had time to go, okay, we kind of got dominated a little bit, or would you rather have your heart ripped out?
Oh, no, I would not want that. No, I do not want it ripped out like that. No. And because, it's like I could see that we were struggling. And so you did. It was very, like, depressing at the time because they're like, this sucks. This should be exciting. And it's just not going to happen. But it would be worse. It was, oh, my gosh, we're going to go to the net. No. Like, I feel like that would be traumatizing. Here's the thing. I think we talked about this last time, NC State was holding teams to defensively. Marquette was not shooting well. Duke was not shooting well. Texas Tech shot horribly. And I think the narrative was, oh, they're having a bad night there. But they did it again to Purdue. Purdue had a season low 63 points. And State didn't shoot so well either, but there's a common denominator here, and I think at some point it in my mind that had to be discussed, that maybe the defense was the reason for the run, and that they actually stepped up, and it wasn't just everybody was having an off night, like that they actually did well and they actually held Purdue. So I took that away from it, right? That they really caused some problems, and if they could have just hit a couple more shots, they would have been a loss by 13, but a couple more shots fall here and there. Maybe it's a different thing, but they really struggled to put the ball in the hoop, and losing your point guard doesn't help either. So, but definitely would rather have it that way than losing at the buzzer. I think I would not be recovered yet if that had happened.
Yes. That run that UCLA went on, it was the exact opposite. UCLA kept shooting the ball incredibly well. And everyone's, it was a fluky shooting performance. You're not going to be able to sustain that. You're taking all these mid-range twos, the most inefficient shot there is. And they just kept doing it. And even in the Gonzaga game. So
if it goes in, who cares how it goes in?
Right. Yes, for sure. Hey, in the comments, Logan, your newfound friend from up north, great sports writer for the Bonner County Daily Bee up there in Sandpoint, Max Oswald. Great run.
Yeah, it was fun. And, you know, we had decided after it, I had made a decision. I would love to have gone, but I couldn't go Saturday and Monday to the Final Four. It's a little pricey, so I could do one. And honestly, tickets to the championship were cheaper than for Saturday because there's only one game. So I was like, all right, if they win on Saturday, then I'll go on. It would suck, right, to go down on Saturday and they win. You got to come home. I don't get to stay for the big one. So I risked it and it didn't pay off, but it was fun. It was awesome.
Yeah. What an experience.
Time. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cut down the nets twice and it was once against Duke and once against UNC. It doesn't taste any better. So, and you don't have to hear about this anymore after today. So
we've enjoyed the journey, maybe not the final destination, but, hey, here's Pierce Bradshaw. Basketball is done. Time for the Masters. Hey, the Masters is coming up this week. And I know there are some golfers in the Treasure Valley. You know, Coal Valley has great golf programs. Typically Homedale, Fruitland.
Yeah.
We want those golf results. All right. We talked about this on the East Idaho Prepcast last week, Logan, where golf results are hard to get because they basically have the score sheets that are taped to the wall. And if you don't take a picture of that, you 5 minutes and then it's ripped off the wall and thrown away. So golf coaches or ADs, if you're out there, we want those golf results. You can send them to Brandon@IdahoSports.com or Logan@IdahoSports.com because we're kind of in the dark on the golf scene. And I know we have some 3A, 2A golfers that are doing great things this spring. So get those golf results in. We want them. Again, you can send that to either one of us, Brandon@IdahoSports.com or Logan@IdahoSports.com.
And I do follow golf too. I had a coworker when I worked in accounting and her husband is a golf, like he wasn't in the top level tour at the time, but now he's on the PGA tour. He's tied for eighth right now. He's one under. I always keep tabs on him, how he's doing. So if I was her, I would just quit accounting. Right. He's won a couple of tournaments, has played all 4 days at the Masters 2 or 3 years in a row. I'd be happy to ride somebody's coattails like that.
Yeah, I was talking to my best friend last week. Actually, it was his birthday, and so we were on the phone. And he's been watching Netflix. Has had a documentary where they're following the pro golfers that are on the tour. And he said there's one guy on the tour that's from Coeur d'Alene. I think he said he was telling me.
Oh, really?
And,
wow.
He said the Coeur d'Alene guy's just kind of like, well, somebody's got to finish 87th at this tournament. It might as well be me. And he just kind of leans into that. He's not really shooting for the top of the leaderboard. He's just happy to be there.
Hey, yeah, just happy to be there and get my check for playing golf. It could be a lot worse.
It reminds me of Happy Gilmore when he's just like, okay, hey, when do I get paid? Oh, yeah, it'll come at the end. Oh, just give me a big check like that guy. I don't care. I just need it now.
I'll take it.
Yeah. So anyways, golf is going in the Treasure Valley, of course, starting to thaw out a little bit. We do want those golf results, so send them in. Hey, real quick, let's check on tennis. We can at least tell you what's going on at the top of the tennis leaderboard in the Treasure Valley in terms of like most wins, singles, most wins, doubles. Tell you what, Fruitland's starting to heat up, Logan. Fruitland is 9-1 in team competition, and they've got several boys and girls atop the leaderboard. If we look at most boys singles wins this year, it's Caden Seals from Fruitland with 10, Preston Rawlinson from Fruitland right behind with 8. You look at most singles wins in girls tennis, Logan, and it's also Savannah Hymus from Fruitland with 9. So the Grizzlies continuing to excel on the tennis courts, something that really shouldn't surprise us at this point.
No, yeah, they continue to do that, and it's something they've done continually, and they're just right back in the same spot as usual.
Yep, and then in terms of other noteworthy performers from the Treasure Valley, most wins for boys doubles right now belongs to the Middleton duo of Carson McConkie and Cade Walker. They have 9 doubles victories. Right behind them is the Eagle duo of Tyler Osborne and Colton Symes with 8. Middleton also has the top doubles girls teams right now. Mindy Walker and Alyssa Walker with 8. I'm going to guess they're related.
They're Brandon, there are I live in Middleton. Everybody's a Walker. Like, it's funny. I was looking at my wife's pedigree chart and I found Walkers in there. And I'm like, oh, I'm part of the family. I'm part of the crew because everybody is a Walker in Middleton.
Okay. That's good. So Mindy Walker, Alyssa Walker, they've got 8 wins. Tied with another Middleton duo, Eliana Telford and Xavier Lake. They also have 8 doubles wins from Middleton. Now you might be thinking, hey, Xavier Lake, didn't she transfer from Middleton to New Plymouth to play basketball? You are correct, because her mom, yeah, Tara Lake, got the job, but New Plymouth must not have tennis. Therefore, she gets to go compete with her old team, yeah, in Middleton.
I guess so. I know there is there has been some New Plymouth Middleton shifting between some other athletes as well. So I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, that checks out. So it's really hard for 2A schools to have tennis, just because you need, I mean, you might have an individual here or there, but like, it's hard to have a full team. And if you do have one, you have to compete at the 3A level anyways. It's kind of like soccer. So anyways, I just found that interesting. The top mixed doubles team is also from Middleton, Logan. Sam Swing and Alicia Addison. They have 10 wins in the mixed doubles. Idaho is one of like 3 states that has mixed doubles. And so Sam Swing and Alicia Addison with 10 there. Teddy Gross and Alexi Drollinger from Fruitland right behind with 8.
Yeah, and the Swings, that's another tennis name in the Treasure Valley. That's they've been in other Ridgeview. I think they might have been some down there, but they've been at Middleton for a while. And that's another great tennis name here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, I feel like Austin Swing, one of the great singles players. He's at LC State now, Lewis and Clark State College up in Lewiston. But he was a great tennis player for Middleton, also not that long ago. So, yeah.
I knew it was Austin. That was the name. I couldn't remember the first name. But, lots of great tennis here in Middleton. So,
for sure.
Take that, Sean Kane.
That's right. Sean Kane is our East Idaho prep caster, also the head tennis coach at Century High School over in Pocatello. Track and field, Logan, the big storyline, and Marlo Herford chronicled this exceptionally well in the Bell Lap. That is her weekly track and field notebook that we have every Tuesday. We've determined that during the spring, Tuesdays are for track and field on idahosports.com. And this week's Bell Lap was all about the contingent of Idaho athletes that went to compete at the Arcadia Invitational in California. It's kind of like the unofficial season opener, if you will, for national track and field. It's a high school and college event. College teams are there. High school teams come down and compete. And there were a lot of Boise High athletes there. There were some from Eagle, Rocky Mountain. It was just nice to see Idaho athletes going down to compete against the best of the best.
Yeah, and you know what, we always seem to show out. And again, we talked about this in other sports where, you know, more team sports where our athletes are going and beating these teams from other states. And, you know, we've got great athletes in cross country here in Idaho and in the Treasure Valley. And so it's always good to see that carry on to track as well.
Yeah, the top finisher from the Treasure Valley was Noe Kemper of Boise High in the 800. He took 3rd. In the 800 beat the school record for Boise High and set a new personal best, 1:50.68. That is smoking for the 800. 1:50. That's incredible. So he set a new school record. Jack Sheasley and Caden Helder both set new school records as well in the 3200 and the 3200 respectively. So each of them surpassed the previous record. The official new record will go to Jack Sheasley now, who had the higher time of 9:03.05, but Helder also broke the school record at 9:05.7. So how crazy is that to have two teammates break the same school record in the same race? The guy who finished just a couple seconds ahead of you gets the official time.
Yeah, that's tough, right? If you're the other guy in that equation. I just broke the school record. Well, no, actually, if you finished first, then the guy that finished second never actually broke the record, right? Because the record was broken, you know, half a second ago. So, you know,
I guess
if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I mean, either way, right? You know, we all know what we're trying to say here. That is awesome, right? To be able to knock it out. And when do you ever see that, right? Where it's the same, you know, same teammates knocking out the same record in the same, you know, like you said, the same race. That doesn't happen often or ever. I'm sure it has happened, but that's not a frequent occurrence.
Yeah,
it's a record for a reason, right?
Exactly. So congratulations to all of our, if you want to read about all the Idaho athletes that went down to the Arcadia invite, you can read the Bell Lap. It's right at the top of the homepage on idahosports.com. Kai Twaddle Dunham from Centennial got a shout out in this week's Bell Lap too. Obviously great shot put in discus thrower. His discus, he's currently ranked 7th in the nation in the discus throw, Logan.
Geez, 7th in the whole. Wow. That's all. And you know, that's incredible to be that highly ranked. And, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. He set it at the Patriot invite last week. Centennial hosted it, 187 feet, 6 inches. That's legit in the disc. He also has the top shot put throw in the state, 58 feet, 5 inches. Other leaders from the Treasure Valley on the statewide track and field leaderboard on the boys' side, Logan. Aiden Martinez of Skyview has the top 1 and 200 time, 1081 in the 100, 2190 in the 200. David Gummersall of Valley View has the top 400 time right now, 4851. If you're running a sub 50, 400, I mean, that's upper echelon. Noe Kemper has the top 800 time. He just said it at the Arcadia we were talking about. He has the top mile time as well, the 1600. Landon Heemeyer of Rocky Mountain has the top 3200 time. And then in the relays, you know, Rocky's got the top 4x1. Victory Charter has the best sprint medley right now. That's a 2, a 2, a 4, and an 8. Boise has the top 4x4. Austin Stewart of Mountain View leads the javelin, new event, right? Javelin, 151 feet, 2 inches. And then Brady Abbott of Rocky has the top pole vault at 15 feet, 1 inch. Mikhail Snedden of Eagle, top long jump. And Victor, I always struggle with this name, from Capital. He's got the top triple jump, Logan. Victor Biondombe. I butchered that. And if somebody knows how to actually pronounce his name, please send that in. But he won the triple jump last year at state. He has the top triple jump. I mean, it's almost all Treasure Valley athletes on the statewide leaderboard.
Yeah. And if you want to go back to the Noe Kemper, and this is in the article, and you mentioned it, he finished third in that race, but that time was the 5th best in the nation for boys up to that point. So he might've come in third, but the other two were also in that top two, or, you know, top 5 national times. It's not like, dang, I finished third. It's I finished third and all three of us are in the top 5 nationally for the time so far this year. So, that's awesome. And just needed maybe a little more attention there. That's incredible.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you added that context for sure. Women's leaderboard, girls leaderboard here, Logan. Quincy Keller of Mountain View, top 200 time. Sophia Clark of Boise has the top 400 and the top 800 time. She is a University of Montana commit for track and field. Great choice. Go Grizz, Sophia Clark. Can't wait for her to don the maroon and silver of my hometown team.
So unfortunate. Montana Grizz. I'm just kidding. No, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome for sure. Ruby Immels, freshman from Timberline, has the top mile time right now, the top 1600 time. She set that 2 weeks ago, back in March at the Arcadia Distance Challenge. We have Grace Lanfear of Boise leading the 300-meter hurdles right now. Capital has the top 4x1. Skyview has the top 4x2 relay. Boise has the top 4x4 relay. And then when we look at the field events, Adrian Russell of Boise has the top javelin throw so far, 153 feet, 4 inches. Autumn Shoemaker, top long jump. And another freshman from Timberline, Nadia Burkholder, has the top triple jump here in the early going as well. So a couple of freshmen from Timberline doing some heavy lifting, Logan.
Yeah, again, just Treasure Valley seems to be dominating right now.
Yeah, and so continue to keep an eye out for the Bell Lap every Tuesday for the biggest statewide track and field goings on from Marlo Herford. All right, let's switch to the Diamond. You want to do softball first or baseball, Logan? I'll kind of let you choose your own adventure here.
We could go softball first.
Okay. First coaches polls of the season came out. We always wait. You know, people ask, you know, where are the coaches polls? Well, because of the disparity in climates, some teams don't even really get to play games until April. There's a lot of teams that get maybe a game or two in March. Really, we feel like it's not fair to start putting out coaches polls when some teams have played 8 games and some have played none. So we always like to wait until April to debut them. And then last week there was a lot of rainouts, a lot of cancellations. And so this week, I feel like we have enough data and the coaches have enough data to go off of for our coaches polls. But on the softball side, Logan, let's just start at 5A and we can kind of work our way down. We're going to do a deep dive and we'll stop down for that when we get to it. But for 5A, Logan, the Treasure Valley has 4 of the top 5 slots. Owyhee checks in at number 1. Timberline is 2. It is Eagle in 3rd. And then Mountain View is tied with Thunder Ridge for 4th.
Yeah, taking all 4 of those top spots. And Eagle, I think people might look at the record, but you know they played a really tough schedule to start.
Yeah, and that's why I like the coaches' polls because – let's be honest, if there was a media poll, Eagle wouldn't even be considered. Oh, they're 5 right. and 7. And they're, yeah, but the coaches know, hey, okay, we know, we've seen Eagle's a good team. I like that context, that wrinkle there. I was a little surprised that Middleton wasn't ranked. Yeah. I'll be honest. They were the first team that missed the cut. But
yeah, I was trying to pull it up here. They had played a tough schedule. They just beat Mountain View last week, 8-1. And Mountain View gets the spot ahead of that. It's always easy to look at specifics like that. Right. And yeah, the Middleton not getting in there surprised me. They lost to Bishop Kelly, and Timberline, but you know, we know where Timberline's at. but really outside of that, I mean, they just beat Rocky. And we talked about them last week and all, you know, all the good that they have done. So yeah, kind of surprising to not see them there.
Yep. Okay. Let's talk about, 4A. Bishop Kelly's number 1, and that's it. That's now there's a lot of teams that are in the, you know, also receiving votes. Emmett, Skyview, Ridgeview, Valley View. I guess that's the big question, Logan, right? Is who's going to join we kind of like BK from this district, and they have been the premier team the past several years. But the question is, who's going to join BK at state from this district?
Right. And you look at the records, it's kind of hard. I don't know if we've really seen anybody emerge yet, because obviously Emmett and Valley View are both undefeated in conference play. And so we haven't gotten fully into the meat of the schedule, and we'll see if either one of those two teams maybe can step up to the plate.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure. Let's go 3A classification, Logan, where when the vote was tabulated this week, Parma got a first place vote and they were 5th overall. They were undefeated when our coaches poll was published. They were 12-0 overall, 4-0 in conference play. First time in I don't know how long that Parma was undefeated. That came to an end last night, as Parma fell to Holmdale, which is currently tied with Kimberly at the top of the coaches poll. Holmdale is 7-4 overall, but they're now 8-4 and they're 5-0 in conference play. This was an interesting game, right? Holmdale got the 10-7 win, but it was a game of ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of how you equate that. They were down 10-1 in the 7th, right? Like it was a garbage time, right? You know, where, you know, I had 20 points in today's game, or, you know, a hockey player has 8 goals on the year, but they're all empty net goals, right? You know, they scored a bunch of runs late in that game when the game was kind of out of hand. They only put up 4 hits in that game, did Parma. But it was 10-1 going into the 7th inning. And so I think I that's what I look at, right? Yeah. Great run to come back, put a couple runs on the board, but Homedale really controlled that game. And you know, they're going to be the team we look at this week in the deep dive of a team. But one player specifically in this game that really had it all going for her was Olivia. And I hope I don't butcher your last name, Olivia. Osumendi is how you say it. She went 4-for-4 in the game, had 2 runs, 3 hits, 3 RBIs, a double, and a home run. That's a heck of a stat line for Olivia Osumendi.
And that's just a larger microcosm of her season to date. So, yes, we try to do 1 softball, 1 baseball deep dive every week here on the Treasure Valley Prepcast. This week, we're all about the Homedale Lady Trojans. You're right, Logan, that 10-7 score with Parma. Parma did score 6 times in the 7th inning to make things interesting late. But Homedale has done this, right? I mean, they have been such a great program over the years. They and Weezer have been just neck and neck at state the last couple of years. Olivia Osumendi, Logan, so far on the season, 12 games under her belt, 45 plate appearances, a .676 batting average. That is astronomical. That means she's getting on base. She's getting a base hit like 2 out of every 3 at bats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. And the thing is, Brandon, you look at her career stats. She's been doing this since she was a freshman, right? Since her freshman year, she has been on a tear throughout her career. She's hit 19 home runs over her career, but 5 of them are this year. And you just wonder what else is she going to do this year based on what she's been able to do. Like you said, she's hitting .676 right now, but she's hit over .400 her freshman year. And she's only gotten better, .431, .460, .495, and now she's hitting .676. Really good numbers there. So, you know, you look at it and it looks like, you know, based on the past, maybe approaching halfway through the year, but you know, she's got 173 RBIs over her career. Just an incredible what she's been able to do at the plate, and she had a great game there and last night against Parma, and just continues to get it done for Homedale.
Yeah, Homedale in their career, Logan, 7 state championships. The most recent was in 2022. They've also won back in 2018 and then 15, 16, 13 also. So they've been in the mix every year. And yeah. Olivia Osumendi, we joke about this with certain athletes. We feel like they've been there for like 15 years because they're A, 3 sport athletes, and B, they've been doing it since their freshman year. Mm-hmm. And she fits the bill. Olivia Osumendi, she plays volleyball, basketball, and softball. And she has been a contributor basically from the jump. And it's been incredible to watch her. It's coming to an end, but Logan, you're going to have a chance to watch her play as she is going to play softball for the College of Idaho.
So. All right. Yeah. So just staying home playing in Caldwell. So doesn't have to make a long trip there. So that'll be awesome to see her playing for the Yotes. Just an incredible career and season that's going right along with it.
Yes. Osumendi leads the team with 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, but it's not a one woman show. Obviously you need a team. So who else are we looking at from this Homedale team? Zane Hall, fellow senior, and she's been a varsity contributor for a couple of years now. She's batting only 455, Logan, compared to Olivia's .676, but she's got a home run and a triple and 15 RBIs. And then Danny Sitz, who also has been, you know, this trio has been, you know, since their sophomore year, at least, you know, kind of contributing to the varsity level.
Yeah. Yeah. No, just an incredible bunch, right? You said it 2 years ago, won a state championship, and looking to get one more on the way out of town. Right. And right now sitting at number 1 in the state. So I think, yeah, you look at it and got to be feeling pretty good.
And Sitz is the primary pitcher. She's kind of been their main pitcher the last couple of years. She's got a .390 ERA, a 4-1 record this year, 55 strikeouts. But Osamendi has been pitching this year too. And Olivia's ERA is a little higher, 5.01, but she has just two fewer strikeouts, 53 Ks to Danny Sitz's 55. And then Zane Hall is kind of like the emergency third pitcher if they need it. So those three are not only leading the way at the plate, they are leading the way in the pitcher's circle as well. So it's been really fun to watch Coach Larry Korda's Homedale Trojans, and we'll continue to monitor them as the season goes along. But hey, 5-0 at the midway point of conference play, it's a good spot to be in.
Yeah, and you got to like where you're sitting if you're Homedale right now.
Yep. They get the rematch with Parma at the very end of the season, April 29th. That's actually not that far away, so that's depressing to think about. But that's when they will play Parma in the rematch. And meanwhile, you know, they've got they beat Weezer in a slugfest, 17-13 last week in Weezer. They'll get Weezer on the 22nd. Those are kind of the two games I'm keeping an eye on there. Let's continue real quick just to wrap up the 2A coaches poll for softball. Logan, Coal Valley Christian, number two in the poll right now. Napa Christian, fourth. New Plymouth tied for fifth. New Plymouth has kind of been the team the last couple of years, but, you know, Coal Valley Christian is kind of, I feel like they're kind of like Bishop Kelly, right? Where they're, I mean, every sport, it seems like they're competing. And so they're going to move up to 3A next year, or what will be the new 4A. And I'm sure everyone else in the WIC is like, yeah, we're good with that.
Yeah. It's fun to see how they've done it too. Like, they didn't just come in and instantly, you know, it seems like it's just been building, right? That they've built it up, that it wasn't like they brought in, you know, that's always the knock that private schools get, right? They recruited everybody in, but, like, you know, they are building these program. These kids have played together for a long time, at least from my perspective. I know everybody's got their own dog in every fight. Okay. But it just seems like they've slowly been kind of building themselves up in multiple sports. And it'll be fun to see them compete against some of these, what are now 3A teams in the future.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I had mentioned that, hey, they're private schools. They are allowed to go recruit student athletes if they want to. And that's totally, you know, they're just using the rules, right? That's totally fine. And then I relayed a story of how I was recruited in high school in Montana by the Catholic school in Missoula. And so somehow that got twisted around that I was accusing Coal Valley Christian of bringing in these players and student athletes. And I didn't say any school specifically in the Treasure Valley is doing this. I just said in general, and based upon my personal experience, it's something that does happen. So anyways, somebody took umbrage with what I had stated there about Cole. Hey, I'm not saying Coal Valley's doing that. I'm just saying that private schools can do that. And by the way, I was recruited when I was in high school. So that's all I was saying. But
you know, it just seemed like it just doesn't, I don't think that's the major factor in these teams' success. Like, right. I know that people want to say that, but I think they've got great coaches. They've got great administration. They've got great kids. They've just got, everything is good right now at Coal Valley Christian and, you know, all the other schools, you know, in the area. But right now they've just, you know, there's public schools that right have these great programs, right? Not just that team is good, but you know, the entire school base just seems to be good at everything. And that seems to be what's going on right now there. And that's a culture thing. That's not just a, hey, we handpicked a couple kids, right? That's, you know, it is expected that you're going to win. And that's kind of what I feel like in my point of view that we're seeing from them right now, that they want to be here and that it's contagious, right? It bleeds down to the people below you, that, hey, when I'm in seventh grade, when I'm in ninth grade, I want to be better. I want to win a state championship. I want to play at the Idaho Center, right? Whatever it is. And it seems like that we're seeing that from them right now.
Yeah, winning is contagious, Logan. That is for sure. 1A softball coaches poll. Glens Ferry is second. They're not really District 3, but they play in the Western Idaho Conference. And then Wilder tied for fifth as well. Still for the 1As, very early on, not a lot of games under the belt for any of these teams. So that you know, these could change, but that's what's happening at the 1A level. All right, let's switch gears to baseball, Logan, and take a look at the first coaches' polls of the season. We'll start at the 5A level. It is just like in softball, four of the five spots occupied by Treasure Valley teams. Eagle number one, Owyhee two, Middleton three, Mountain View is fifth. And to me, it is kind of a big three. Eagle, Owyhee, Middleton at the top. All three of them are not only SIC favorites, but title favorites, right? State title. They all will compete for the state championship later on in May.
Yeah. And you know, we know what Owyhee is, right? They've won it back to back years. And the team I would be nervous for right now is Middleton. I feel like they're like Virginia in 2019 and Purdue this year in basketball, right? They went 2-0 at state, right? They lost to the 16 seed. I'm not saying they lost to a 16 seed, but they won the SIC over Owyhee. They were, you know, a dominant team last year and then went 2-0. I feel like a lot of teams, if that happened, Owyhee in basketball 2 years ago, Lucas said this to me, and you know, he's like, he thought that Owyhee won the state championship the day that they lost in the first round. That was the day they won next year's championship. That I'm not saying that's going to happen with Middleton, but you know, a team that had a really sour taste in their mouth, it's just a dangerous team to keep an eye on as we go along. They beat Rocky last week, or you know, on Tuesday, 9-2. They beat Mountain View 2-1. They took care of Bishop Kelly. They just seem to be a team on a roll. And you know, we'll see what happens. We haven't seen them play Eagle. We haven't seen them play Owyhee yet. Those games will come in a couple of weeks, right? Next 2 weeks from now, on the 23rd, Eagle and Middleton will play, and then Middleton and Owyhee actually have a doubleheader scheduled that Saturday. So that should be an interesting week of baseball to watch here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun for sure. Okay, 4A coaches poll. Skyview checks in as the number one team. They are 4-0 in conference play. Now, one of those was a forfeited win by Bishop Kelly. Bishop Kelly went through a weird stretch where they had forfeited a game to Skyview, and they had forfeited a game to, I think it was Valley View. They're back playing and competing. They beat Columbia earlier this week. Columbia is third. Bishop Kelly is four. I think next week's poll might see some changes. Columbia, I just haven't seen it this year. They just lost to Caldwell last night, Logan. So I mean, just more head scratching from the Cats. And then, you know, Bishop Kelly, you know, now that they're back playing, and again, I don't know what happened with those forfeitures or anything like that, but I think BK is always lurking also.
Yeah, and they did, BK did beat Columbia. Yeah. They did beat Ridgeview. But like you said, Columbia kind of maybe in a little bit of a spiral right now, right? Like they lost to, like you mentioned, Caldwell, Bishop Kelly, Pocatello. And we just mentioned, I think last week, Pocatello is a really good team, right? Not like any shame in losing to Pocatello, so nothing there. But all of a sudden, you look at yourself in the mirror and you're 1-4 in conference play. And that's a big hole. There's a lot of teams with only one win, though. Emmett, Ridgeview, Caldwell, and Columbia all with just one win. So, you know, one win will bump you up in the standings pretty easily, but you've lost to some teams there that only, you know, that their one win in conference is against you, and that's always a tough thing to look at. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and on the poll as the year goes along.
Yeah, and you really want to finish in one of those top two spots, especially in the 4A SIC, because that means you get a bye, and that right. means that's one less pitcher you have to use potentially to get to state. So that's always key. So we'll see how that continues to shake out. 3A coaches poll. Logan, we'll stop down on 3A just for a little bit. We're not going to do our deep dive at 3A, but Homedale is the number one team in the first poll, and Fruitland checks in at number five. I'd say that checks out. And really, Logan, I look at this top five statewide: Homedale, Kimberly, Marsh Valley, Sugar Salem, Fruitland. If you told me that, hey, you know, any of those five could win the 3A state championship, I'm not sure I would disagree with you. It's kind of like in basketball. I think it's really diverse and balanced this year.
Yeah. And you look at those teams, all of them at state last year. And then you look at the others receiving votes as well. Payette was at state last year, as well as Timberlake. It's a lot of the same old faces, right? In baseball. And it is. So we've talked about this multiple times. That 3A bracket, it is it is going to be tough. When you say it's up in the air, I feel like that makes it sound like, well, the teams aren't good. It's just that there are so many good teams. Homedale, number one in the state right now. They got 6 first place votes. They were swept by Marsh Valley over the weekend, right? Marsh Valley came over, and Marsh Valley won those games. And Marsh Valley is back-to-back state champs. So, yeah, you know, it just we'll see, right? And I don't know, do you throw all your cards on the table in a game like that? I don't know. I don't know if you do that or not. I'm not sure what the game plan going in was, but you look at it, if you're Marsh Valley on the other hand, you look at the rankings and maybe say, well, maybe we should be number one since we just swept Homedale. So I shouldn't be on their side since they're from Eastern Idaho, but so I'll take the Homedale side that they've put it together, the better body of work over the season to earn that number one spot right now.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. We talked about this last week. Marsh Valley was going to come over and play Weezer twice on Friday and then Homedale twice on Saturday. The Friday games got rained out because the weather kind of stunk last week.
It was terrible.
Yeah, they only were able to play the 2 games Saturday. So in theory, you go, okay, then Marsh Valley didn't have to use any pitchers necessarily for the Weezer games. Could they save their best pitchers for the Homedale games? You know, Marsh Valley doesn't put their stats on Max Preps or Game Changer or anything like that. So it's hard to tell without being there who they threw and you know, who their top guys are. I know Tuff Solomon is probably their top pitcher. He threw almost a no-hitter, I think he did throw a no-hitter earlier this year. But for Homedale, you know, you look at it on their side, and in those 2 games to Marsh Valley, we know who their unquestioned ace is, right? Dylan Fine, and we're going to talk more about him, you know, coming up. He pitched in the second game? I'm trying to check here. He didn't pitch in either one of those games. So Peyton Fine pitched in that first game. So really hard to tell. And honestly, for Homedale, I'm kind of okay with it. I kind of like the idea of Marsh Valley not being able to see Dylan Fine pitch before state.
See, that's what when I said that earlier, like did they put all their cards on the table? I don't know. And you look at the top 4 right now in the state, that's the semifinals from last year. And state is going to be a big deal for these teams. I think you are going to need 2 legit starters at state in the 3A tournament. You're not going to be able to throw somebody out there on day 2. You're going to need an ace on day 2 to get to day 3. You're going to need somebody. You can't save them for day 3. Critical to win big games, right, and get the seeding that you want, right, and that you want one of those top 4 spots so that you're not playing them earlier in the week, right? And so it's going to be real interesting, especially what if a seed comes back, right, and it puts one of these 4 as a 5 or something like that, and so or a 6 or something weird happens, and one of those 4 is playing them in the first round. Could be a state championship style game in the first round. That 3A tournament it's going to be loaded. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you'll earn it for sure if you win the 3A title.
And that's why I was talking to somebody, like going back to NC State. They're like, oh, I don't want to pay Purdue. I'm like, well, you're here. It's done. You're not getting. No one's playing a cupcake at this point. And that 3A tournament, you're not going to get a cupcake in that tournament.
Yeah. After being swept by Marsh Valley, Homedale got back into conference play. They beat Payette 13-3 on Monday night. Monday night. And then last night, Logan, they shut out Parma 9-0. Dylan Fine came within a base hit of throwing a no-hitter.
Yeah.
He gave up 1 base hit, and that was it. And otherwise, I mean, just sterling. He carried that no-hitter into the 7th inning. So he went into the final inning, still with the no-hitter. Sam Holtman from Parma broke it up with a single in the 7th inning. But that doesn't diminish what Fine did on the mound. He, of course, is committed to the University of Utah. They will now be in the Big 12, which is a step up in baseball competition, I think. The Pac-12 was okay in baseball. Big 12, you know, you got Texas to deal with. Yeah. Well, I guess Texas is leaving for the SEC. Never mind. Big 12, still a very good conference. Yeah. Anyways, he throws Logan last night. He faces 22 batters, 21 outs in the game. 18 of the 21 outs recorded came via the strikeout. He struck out the first nine hitters of the game. All nine batters for Parma came up one time through and struck out. All nine That's of them ridiculous. Struck out.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, the stat line that he had in this game against Parma, just unbelievable. Like, you know, like, just how do you blow through people like that? Just incredible.
It's nuts. So, congratulations to Dylan Fine and Holmdale. When we look back on, I really hope everybody appreciates what he's been able to do on the mound. Cause when you talk about, and there's been some pitchers from the Treasure Valley that have, you know, that are in the minor leagues right now. I think of, the kid from Rocky Mountain who then pitched at Gonzaga and now is in the minors, and Orlowski from Middleton, right? Recently there's been some good pitchers, but man, Dylan Fine, I'd put him up against anybody.
Oh man. No. And I've been lucky enough to see him pitch a couple of times at state tournaments, and it's fun to watch. It's a work of art when he is out there. I mean, it's hard for anybody to get going at the plate. It doesn't matter if it's a team that's not good or it's a team that's going to win a state championship. It doesn't matter who it is. And hopefully he'll remember us, Brandon, that we talked about him. When he's big and famous, and because I mean, that kid is he's gonna do something with that arm. Like, it just seems like it's inevitable of when he continues to keep doing that. I think I saw, right, he was throwing his fastball last night was between 88 and 92 as they went, just phenomenal.
And to put that in perspective, I mean, there are pitchers in the major leagues that are throwing 88 to 92, like with their fastball. So it's really impressive to see.
And you just think about, you know, those kids going up to face him, like, oh, why am I seeing a major league pitch in front of me right now? You know, just no wonder he's just been able to blow through, you know, nine straight strikeouts. Just give me the three strikes right now. Like, and no way.
Yeah. Good luck. That's for sure. So yeah, keep it up, Holmdale. Let's skip the 2A poll for a second. 1A poll, Logan. Glens Ferry is third. Idaho City is fourth. You know, big question at 1A baseball is going to be, can somebody break through and actually beat somebody from the north? There's only the two districts, District 2 from the north, District 3 down in the Treasure Valley. They'll each get four teams to state, basically. And last year, really the past several years, it's just been a sweep for the teams from the north. And so that will continue to be the storyline there. Can somebody, Glens Ferry, Idaho City, Lighthouse Christian maybe is in that league now. Can one of these teams break through and get a win at state? And then 2A poll, Logan. Coal Valley Christian is one. Napa Christian is two. Interesting, right? Because the Trojans are the team that's actually undefeated, and they've got the win over Coal Valley Christian.
Yeah, I would definitely wear that as a little chip on my shoulder in that situation, right? Where you've beaten the team, you're undefeated in conference play, and you say, well, what's going on here? I mean, and Napa Christian has been probably the standard program in 2A over the last few years. You know, they didn't win it last year, but they have been dominant over the last 10 years or so in baseball, and they've just been rolling through. They beat Fruitland 4-0, who we just, you know, got done mentioning was in the top five in the 3A polls, right? They've beaten Parma a couple times. They beat Weezer, Payette. They've rolled through the 3A schedule that was in front of them and now are getting into their 2A teams. Knocked off Marsing earlier this week, and then last night knocking off Coal Valley Christian. So you look at that right now and you say Napa Christian is really the team that looks to me is prepared, right? They prepared themselves early going up against a bunch of 3A teams. Fruitland and Payette, right? Payette was one of those teams receiving votes as well in the coaches poll at 3A, and Fruitland. So they just took out earlier in the year two of the best, you know, top six, seven teams in the 3A, which we just mentioned was very tough. And then they've been able to take care of business against their own competition. And they'll get started in this Glen's Ferry Woodbat tournament this week. So it should be fun to see them play maybe some teams that they wouldn't usually play during the regular season. So that'll be a curious one to watch for Nampa Christian.
Yeah, Nampa Christian and Logan, I guess we can, the mea culpa, they only beat Coal Valley Christian last night, right? The poll came out.
That is true.
Before they played. They did get the 3-1 win there. They beat Marcine 7-4. They beat Melba in extras in the eighth inning, 5-4. So I'd argue their 2A schedule's been more rigorous than the 3A schedule that they played early on this year. We know what good of a league it is. They've already won a game at the Glen's Ferry Woodbat Tournament. That's happening in real time as we're recording this, Logan. They have already beaten Wendell this morning 3-0. They're going to play Lighthouse Christian. That's kind of a good 1A program. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how long they can keep it going. We kept saying this last year. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And well, boy, they lost, you know, their legendary coach, Mark Harris, and Jake Allen's done a great job coaching these guys up. And I said, there's no way they can continue this. And they went out and made me look dumb and won the state championship again last year. And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. It's been really fun to watch these guys.
Oh, did I misspeak? They won it last year?
Or yeah, they won it last year.
Oh, it was Malad.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, let me double check. Yeah.
They played Malad, though, right? It was like
maybe that's what it was.
But yeah, you're right. I remember we were thinking, oh no, it's somebody else's time. And then they did lose to Malad, I believe, in that state championship. But they're always there. It's not like they're not in the mix. Like they're always somewhere in there, and the whole league as a whole, I mean, everybody is at least 500 in the entire league. Nampa Christian's 9-0, Coal Valley's 11-3-1, Marcing is 6-5, North Star is 8-4, New Plymouth is 6-6-1, and Melba is 5-3. So nobody has a losing record in the league right now. I mean, it's a tough league. Like you said, maybe the 2A games they played are tougher than their 3A opponents because it's a tough league to get through. And I mean, Marcing made it to the state semifinals last year. They fell by one to Malad, and then Malad went and won it. So, you know, the whole league is very strong.
Yeah, that Final Four last year at the 2A tournament was kind of nuts, right? Where Malad beat Marcin by a run, and then it took extra innings for Nampa Christian to beat Orofino, the home team, 2-1 in the eighth. And then the championship was really close, 4-3. Nampa Christian lost by a run. You are correct, sir. But the fact that they're able to continually climb that mountain, pretty impressive. Nampa Christian's got their stats under lock and key, Logan. So we can't really, but we can tell you, you know, just based on players we've seen from the past and great athletes. I mean, I think right away of Braden Schaefer Jr., who really came on last year. Landon Mills, of course, a three-sport athlete for Nampa Christian as well. And I think also Jack Ely, the junior, is a guy to keep an eye on for Nampa Christian this year as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun team. Like you said, sometimes the stats aren't there, but it's going to be a fun team to keep track of as we go. And the whole league in general is very deep and very strong, just like it is in every sport, it seems like.
Yes. And Schaefer is kind of the leader on the pitcher's mound. Mills and Ely all, you know, can chip in and pitch as well, but all three of them incredible at the plate. So, and there's a lot of sophomores on this year's Nampa Christian team also. So we'll continue to keep an eye on the Trojans and everybody. Sharon says, what about the 4As? Yeah, we kind of broke down. I'm assuming you're talking about baseball. We kind of talked about what's going on in 4A Treasure Valley. If you just go back a couple of minutes on the replay, which Logan, you of course can tune in live every week to the Treasure Valley Prepcast on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account, but it's also available to watch on replay. So if you're not able to make it live, hey, no worries. You can always go back and watch. You can also listen to this podcast wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts, and also at idahosports.com. A lot of ways you can get the Treasure Valley Prepcast every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of good stuff here that, again, and Brandon said this in the past, but if there's something that we need to know about, to talk about, feel free to email us. Both our emails are right there, but if you're just listening, it's just Brandon@idahosports.com or Logan@idahosports.com. And we can definitely get it talked about, because a lot of times the stuff might be under lock and key, and you know, that story needs to be told, but you know, we just need to know. So feel free to, we've had great people reach out over the past year and years, plural, that have given us stuff that, that they think should be brought to light. So feel free to do that as well.
Yep. We're always on the lookout for great stories highlighting these incredible young men and women across the great state of Idaho. Thanks for tuning into the Treasure Valley Prepcast, everybody. Enjoy the competitions this week and weekend. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time on idahosports.com.